I'd like to be a wee bit more specific. I think the G8 is going to take place in Gleneagles in Strathearn and around that area. There's a lot of destitute former mining communities and places where there's lots of heavy industry. I come from Dundee. Unemployment is really, really high in Dundee. It's very close. It's the fourth largest city in Scotland. And then around that area you've got Stirling, which is a lot of working class people who don't have a lot of jobs, and then you've got Clackmannanshire with Alloa and stuff, and then Dunfermline where there's absolutely fuck all to do. I think there's a lot of concentration on Glasgow and Edinburgh, and these are two big cities and there's a fuckload happening in there already, so I think we should be focusing more on around that area. Because it's more peripheral to even the state in waiting, you know.
Rather than actually protesting about eight people, that's not what it's about. It's about standing up and demanding your life back and demanding other people's lives back and fighting for each other's rights. It's not necessarily about those eight people and what they're discussing. It's about those eight people controlling your life. I think that the fact that our communities and our lifestyles are all built on consumerism and are all built on basically fucking people over, is not a particularly great thing. And by fighting back and reclaiming your lives and reclaiming communities and reclaiming ways of life which benefits each other and helps each other out rather than doing the opposite is the way forward. Okay, well personally, as I was talking about, these eight people to me don't matter because they are going to be they're getting together to discuss how they're going to control our lives, but to me they don't actually matter, and if we work outside their decisions then that's the way forward, which necessarily means that rather than concentrating on those eight people in Gleneagles, we should be concentrating on our own communities and on people that we love and people that we care about in our own communities and our own cities, and therefore we should... I believe that we should mobilise in our own cities and our own communities and make it more involved and make it more inclusive for people to be able to fight back and to be able to reclaim their lives rather than it be sort of a bunch of activist superheroes going to Gleneagles to fight for other people. Instead of fighting for other people, we should be encouraging people to fight for themselves.
Obviously what you want to see, a massive block of libertarians, anarchists, whoever, every sort of people, rather than usual the spirit and big trot march or whatever. So I would like to see it. I'm looking forward to a lot of people coming. Should be hopefully it's going to be fun.
This music is church psalm singing in Scots Gaelic. The style nearly defies description, with so much of the sound texture relying on the congregation's individual response to the melody and the individual presenter's leading. It was through Gaelic, via the traditional singing style, that this distinctive and emotive swell of sound emerges. It's a very old tradition in Scotland. However, the Scots will be experiencing something completely new in the summer of 2005, something the country will not have experienced before. The summit of the heads of government of the United States, Japan, the United Kingdom, France, Italy, Canada and Germany, which are the seven richest countries in the world, plus Russia, the largest geographically, will be held in Scotland next year. The G8, which stands for the Group of Eight Most Industrialised Nations, is hosted on rotation by the group's member states. In 2005, the summit is to be held in the UK at Gleneagles in Perthshire, which is around 40 miles northwest of Edinburgh. The Dissent Network has formed to provide a networking tool to coordinate radical resistance to the summit. Dissent consists of a network of autonomous local and working groups committed to building resistance, not just to the G8 but to capitalism in general. The network has no central office, no membership list, no paid staff and no spokesperson. It is open to everyone who agrees to work within the People's Global Action hallmarks. The network was formed in the autumn of 2003 by a group of people who have previously been involved in Radical Ecological Direct Action, the People's Global Action, the Anti-War Movement and the Global Anti-Capitalist Movement, which has emerged around meetings of the rich and powerful who exercise political control.
It's kind of difficult to give an introduction to the Dissent Network as a whole because what it is a network of lots of different groups and individuals working on different projects. Basically, it's about resisting the G8. They're coming to Scotland in 2005, and it's something that the G8 is a symbol of the systems of power that are creating so many of the things that people spend their time campaigning on locally and internationally. So it's about using that symbol as a symbol of resistance as well, and bringing together all the different struggles around the UK and around the world to create a big symbol of resistance to that. The network is united around the same hallmarks as the People's Global Action Network. The basic principles are organising by consensus and not trying to control the actions of anybody else. It's a networking tool, it's not an organising committee. There's no one has the power to tell anyone else what they should or shouldn't be doing. It's about people who are doing stuff have a pool of resources and people to bounce ideas off, to fundraise, to share people and resources, basically. The network really exists through meetings that happen every 2 months at the moment, and they happen in a different part of Britain. The first few were in England, in Nottingham, in Brighton, in Manchester, in Bradford. Now we're up in Edinburgh, which is kind of different because, again, it's the networks in Scotland and meeting up with the networks in England and kind of building links. Those meetings are the only real places where the network exists. It's the only places that any sort of network-wide decisions are made, but what the Dissent Network really is local groups, working groups and projects, some of which are represented at this meeting, some of which aren't, who are out there in the 2 months in between meetings organising, doing outreach work, doing actions. Without that, basically what happens in these meetings is really meaningless. So certainly in the beginning there was a lot of talk about long-term aims and the reasons for mobilising for the G8. Of course, the idea is to go further. I mean, the G8 is just a symbol of stuff that is happening, and it's about bringing together campaigns and resistance that's already going on and bringing about new stuff. It's about linking in the environmentalists with the anti-war networks. It's about linking in workers' struggles with student groups. And that will hopefully have a life. I don't know whether the Dissent Network as a network will continue to organise as Dissent, but what it's about is building the links between people who are organising. It's a very, very big public event that people who are unhappy about the way things are going no longer see, or never have seen, voting and government as a way of voicing their grievances, to find like-minded people and go on to keep working around all the many very real things that the policies of the G8 mean in terms of real people's lives. I don't think that the Dissent Network will necessarily carry on in the form that it is now, because it is about building for a very symbolic event, but the whole point is to build resistance into the future.
The G8 first started meeting in the mid-1970s, when things hadn't been going too well for Western industrialists and state leaders. Colonised countries gained their independence in the early 1960s, and the world had been shaken by uprisings in the developing world against their masters. Vietnam was only the most publicised of these. In the West, the social unrest of the late 1960s and early 1970s contributed to a growing economic crisis. And when, in 1974, the global oil crisis seemed close to snuffing out the lights of global economic growth, the ruling classes lost their way. They simply didn't know how to respond. Thus, the G7, then without the Soviet Union, was born. It was a place where the world's top politicians could hobnob with each other and with representatives of global capital. Their goal was to find ways out of the social and economic crisis engulfing the world, ways consistent, of course, with them retaining their power and privilege. This year, the G8 summit is happening in Gleneagles. Gleneagles is a remote location with a luxurious hotel and upmarket golf course. It's a good distance away from any major urban centre. This has become the norm for large gatherings of multinational capitalists and global state leaders. The 2001 G8 summit was held in Genoa, in Italy. This was the last time it was hosted in an urban location. During the protests against the G8 there, one protester, Carlo Giuliani, was shot dead. The Italian Carabinieri police committed hundreds of acts of violence against demonstrators of all political shades, and various business and state institutions were set on fire or damaged. Subsequent G8 summits have taken place in remote rural settings. This means that the state can control and contain the protests much more effectively. It is also difficult for demonstrators to mobilise at the location if there is no mass public transport or a lack of conversion spaces. The choice of Gleneagles has thrown up many issues for the Dissent Network.
It's a wide open area, just off the A9, about 14 miles from Stirling, on between the Stirling and the Perth off the A9. Now, there's two separate golf courses, Gleneagles golf courses, in front of the hotel itself. The hotel would cover about, area-wise, about quarter-mile area of the grounds. The grounds of the hotel have various activities for guests that live at the hotel. They're probably more entitled to use the facilities at the hotel, shooting range, the golf course, tennis courts, all the usual things that the people pay their £400 a night for. I think looking at the blockade there, it would be fairly difficult to do. I thought it was how they're going to seal it off for a start, and I feel if they're going to try to seal it off, there was a road that was central to the front of Gleneagles Hotel, which is about a quarter of a mile from the hotel, sort of the main entrance. That road would be the seem the most probable point of where they would have the seal-off point, because I feel that if they were to block the A9, they would be blocking the main route to the north of Scotland, and I don't think that would be feasible to do that unless they were to put up central bollards on the A9 and maybe turn it into a single-lane traffic, which would cause quite a bit of congestion. But I think if I was a member of the golf club, I'd be pretty annoyed that I couldn't go about my normal activities if I was a member of that golf club. And I think trying to prevent people going about their normal way of life, I think would be a disruption more than anything else. People, I wouldn't be surprised that if some of the senior state members that will be attending the location of the meeting, I wouldn't be surprised if they are actually not based at Gleneagles. I wouldn't be surprised if they were helicoptered in on a regular basis, because it's a very good landing pad area for helicopters to land there, and I wouldn't be surprised if that was what would happen, i.e. someone maybe put up in Glasgow or hotel in Edinburgh and flown from Edinburgh or Glasgow to their destinations at Gleneagles. I mean, as far as people going there to get together to demonstrate, that there's a lot more work needs to be put into that, that, like, i.e. strategies going to have to be worked out and stuff like that, and hopefully this can come through this with the more contacts within the people throughout Europe and who are going to be actually attending, and it's a matter of getting it right.
The Dissent Network is open to anybody willing to work within the hallmarks of the People's Global Action, or PGA. The PGA was founded in February 1998. Hundreds of people from social movements as diverse as the Brazilian Latinist Peasants Movement, Reclaim the Streets in the UK, the Zapatistas in Mexico, radical ecologists from the Ukraine, Maori from New Zealand, and squatters from across Europe all gathered in Geneva for the founding conference. The PGA Network was created as a tool for coordination and communication between groups, movements, and individuals wanting to organise global anti-capitalist resistance and to draw attention to the possibility of alternative forms of social organisation. The PGA and the movements involved within it were instrumental in initiating and coordinating the global days of action against the last G8 meeting in the UK in Birmingham in 1998, the day of action in financial centres around the world on June 18, 1999, and the events in Seattle and around the globe which coincided with the WTO ministerial meeting in November 1999. The Dissent Network held a gathering in Edinburgh, Scotland on the weekend of September 18th. Roughly 100 people travelled from different parts of the UK and beyond to discuss issues surrounding any protests that are organised in the summer of 2005. Some of the Scottish activists present expressed some fears, concerns and hopes in relation to the planning and work they would have to do in the coming months.
I mean, at the very moment we're just sort of in the organisation process, and we've got a lot of people up from down south today, so we're just trying to build links between those and the groups in Scotland so that we can have sort of a unified network of people that can come together. I think it's very important that people from all over Great Britain and of course Europe can come to Scotland and forge links with people here. Not only will that strengthen the network for future protests and activism, but for the actual GA itself, it's going to be extremely necessary for there to be links with not just activist groups in Scotland but also with the local community around the Glen Eagles area. There's obviously a lot of problems that that's going to cause. Particularly, like, there might be a lot of resentment from the local community having not only the G8 and all of the security around their local community, but also people coming to protest as well. And even if they agree with what we're saying or not, we've still got to respect their space there.
But from a Scotland's kind of activist point of view, it's quite good to kind of be seen in a more kind of leading role as opposed to just kind of little Scotland not really doing much. So that's
speaking for Edinburgh itself, Edinburgh's got a lot of activism going on at the moment, but this is definitely going to energise people and it's going to get people moving.
It's kind of the movement's kind of taken a kind of lull since the anti-war movement. The anti-war movement was all like, whoa, and it's kind of slowed down a bit, but I think this will get people going again. So that's
Are you happy today with the attendance of people from Edinburgh and Glasgow and Scotland?
Not really. There haven't been that many people here, but maybe they're going to be along later, because I know a few people who should be here later.
Yeah, I'm representing some student groups that are based in Edinburgh University, but there's a network around Scotland and the UK, and we're going to be mobilising on this as well. So, I mean, we're just today trying to build links with all the different people, because since sort of the war, it's not really been as strong. Particularly over the summer, people are saying that it's not been much doing. Not much has been done, so it's just trying to get that thing moving initially and sort of sort out where we are. It's in the middle of Scotland. Scotland's quite a sparsely populated country, and relative to Scotland, Glen Eagles isn't actually that remote whatsoever.
Not at all.
So, I mean, we've got the local links in Stirling, Edinburgh and Glasgow, so we're going to be talking about local activism there on the site, protests there, but also within these cities as well. There's going to be a lot of things happening there.
Yeah, and in Edinburgh, there's a counter-summit being planned by the big organisations such as Oxfam and Amnesty, and that will be in Edinburgh, and there'll be a march on the Saturday previously, so
Which would you prefer? I mean, which would you prefer to see, an action maybe urban-based or actually at the location?
Oh, I think, I mean, if I had to choose between one, I'd say definitely an action at the location, but it's good that we're getting both.
I think with the sort of thing, you need the diversity of approach. Like, you can have an action on the site, and that's very good because you're going to get the cameras there, but also to make that link with the local people in these cities around the area, because they're going to know about the G8. It's going to be in the news a lot, and so to make that link with them and sort of explain to them why that's happening within the city is also very important, as well as the
on-site. And also
on-site
good that people can come and stand out against the G8 if they can't, say, miss work or whatever during the week, so we had the weekend before, everyone can come and take part.
Yeah, I'm not really aware of sort of the political sentiment of the local people around Glen Eagles, but I mean, whether they're for it or not, we do have to certainly respect their space. I mean, there's going to be big problems with security there. We were talking today about them putting up a 30-mile perimeter zone around Glen Eagles to stop people from getting into it. Now, that's going to be blocking off the A9, which is one of the main arteries to the north of Scotland. So, I mean, this is something actually very, very big for Scotland over that weekend. And so it's definitely important that there's a local consensus there and people are in dialogue. I mean, the authorities might not be in dialogue with the local people, but we've certainly got to make sure that we do that.
Well, the problem is at the moment, certainly I can't really speak for Glasgow, but in Edinburgh our groups really kind of died off. We've got quite a lot of people on the email list, but the amount of people who are actually coming to meetings, volunteering to do stuff is, you know, very, very slight. I mean, even organising this gathering was a bit of a struggle. I mean, Ulla more or less organised it single-handedly. Just with people being away, Edinburgh has a high population, at least transient population, like students, backpackers, academics. So in a way, so groups naturally have a sort of cycle here, I think, but the problem is, the activist scene here is very small. I mean, remember, the whole of Scotland has less people in it than the whole of London, basically. There's a population of like 5 million. Edinburgh, there is an activist scene, but there's a small amount of people doing quite a lot of work, and the main concern is a lot of people, the GA isn't a high priority for them. They've got other forms of organising, they have their own projects or whatever, and they'll want to concentrate on that. So that is my main concern. But also, more optimistically, because it's a big event, it's the sort of thing that's bringing people out of the woodwork, it's bringing in new people. There are the guys who set the Dissent group up weren't experienced activists, or people being involved in the Stop the War coalition, they weren't sort of usual suspects. I mean, that's positive. I mean, I think hopefully once things start to happen and get a bit of momentum, that might pull people in. I mean, but at the moment, as I say, the Dissent meetings in Edinburgh, we had 2 or 3 people, if that, over the summer. But hopefully now we've had the meeting, there might be a signs of movement that might draw more people in. But I mean, obviously, I personally don't have experience organising anything on this scale. And when you think of thousands, you know, we're going to have, you know, potentially thousands of people coming in from all over Europe, certainly, possibly the world. You know, it does seem quite daunting. Particularly, and also you've got the legal issues. The local press has been quite sensationalist, and you know, we do feel quite visible because the activist scene is so small that, you know, you could end up with your picture on the paper as, you know, being public, some sort of public menace. But you know, we just kind of crack on with it and see, you know, see how we go.
Do you think Scottish activists are a bit nervous, possibly with the size or scale of GA mobilisation?
I think so. I mean, I think anyone would be. I mean, particularly also, I mean, there's not a lot of infrastructure. I mean, the Autonomous Centre in Edinburgh, the collective that runs that, is maybe about 6 people or something. I mean, there's a lot of diverse groups, but there's a small amount of people involved in each. So the amount of experienced organisers in Scotland is, you know... But, I mean, having said that, there is things like Faz Lane, Bilston, that have been ongoing for a long time. So, I mean, there are people there, but it would be quite daunting for anyone, I think.
The GA, in effect, acts as a kind of world government, a role which the people of the planet never asked it to take on. The GA thus illegitimately imposes its will upon the world order. The GA prescribes policies that accelerate the concentration of wealth, attack workers' rights, jeopardise employment, lower living conditions for the vast majority of the population, disrespect cultural differences and harm the environment. While G8 member countries refuse to seriously engage themselves in the fight against accounting fraud, money laundering and offshore havens, the G8, under the auspices of the fight against terrorism, attempts to justify war, militarism and repression. The G8 claims to combat world poverty, but its proposals for debt relief for poor countries have proven totally insufficient and are tied to unacceptable conditions. Furthermore, IF policies continue to drive countries like Argentina into bankruptcy. The policies of the WTO each day prove more and more unfavourable to the countries of the Southern Hemisphere. Financial contributions to help in the struggle against AIDS, malaria and other illnesses are light years behind what is needed and what has been promised. G8 member countries, finally, have taken no serious measures to protect the environment. A recurring theme that surfaced during the discussions over the weekend of Dissent was establishing contacts with local communities near the location of the summit. They felt this was very important to do as the local police and politicians had already been engaged in what they saw as disinformation campaigns, and they wanted to counteract this in order to dispel people's fears and perceptions.
The attitude is that it's going to cause violence. One of the main problems people have seen, or that they've heard, is that a lot of violent protests are going to come up to the main streets in Perth. They're going to start smashing up the shops, smashing up people's houses, blah, blah, blah. A lot of things are going to be destroyed. They're also worried about terrorism, you know, with... It's difficult to say. There is a lot of opinion. There's not a lot of opinion says, oh, the G8 is really, really bad. The G8 is going to be trouble. They basically see it's bringing trouble. They just see, you know what I mean, it's going to bring a lot of trouble. It's going to bring a lot of chaos, fascism. There's an organisation in Perth. I don't know exactly what they're called, but they're like the Perth City Fathers, and they're a huge, dark fucking organisation. They don't like protesters. They don't like anything alternative. And I see them as being one major problem in Perth. The only problem I see is the local people. It's disinformation. They're not uneducated. It's just disinformation. They're reading the local papers. One of them called the Perth Sur Advertiser, which its attitude is just exactly what I've been talking about. You know, I mean, if they knew something like this was going on in Edinburgh, they would come down. They would write a really shit report. They would rubbish it, and they would tell the local people, "Look, there's trouble coming." You know, blah blah blah. As far as I'm concerned, I think the GA is the worst thing that's ever going to come to Scotland, because I can see Scotland's got a large farming community, and the GA is going to change how people, the way farmers grow their crops, the way farmers live their land. And I just see the poisons coming into Scotland. We've already had GM crops here. I see a lot of poison coming into Scotland, a lot of poison coming into our land in the next few years because of what Bush and Blair and all the rest of them say. But yeah, there's a lot of disinformation out there. There's a lot of fear. There's no real sort of structure giving people information at the moment saying, this is why this is happening. This is why people are, you know, going to demonstrate against the GA. This is why people feel so bad. The only thing I've seen in another paper called The Courier is about an interview with someone who's trying to end, end poverty. And that's been one really, really good thing. They've kind of gone, oh, ha, 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 listen to this woman. But, you know, they've also said, you know, we want to end the poverty, you know, third world poverty, third world debt. So that's the only good write-up I've really seen. So it's that kind of attitude that we're facing at the moment, and it's not good. I think I was just speaking to a woman there who's doing a roadshow at the moment. They're going to come up to Perth. They're going to do, you know, some serious information. They're also going to do a pub quiz with bands, music. If people come along, it's going to start people talking. And then they're going to look on websites. They're going to look at the newspapers. They're going to look here and they're going to look there. And they're going to find out, you know, the real, true information of what's going on and why the G8 is so bad. At the moment, people won't listen to me, because they just see me as a scaremonger. And also they're just like, oh, fucking, you know, you lot are a bunch of trouble, you fucking drug-smoking hippie, blah, blah, blah. The usual crap they come out with. But I think dissent can help in a lot of ways. And the biggest one is information. Being friendly, being open, being accountable, you know, not keeping anything to themselves, going, look, you know, this is why it's going on, this is the information, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, do you think many people, local people from Perth, will get involved in the demonstrations, or is it a case at this stage that the media has kind of painted the portrait where all demonstrators are bad? I mean,
a bit of both. I think once people get information, yeah, they will come up and they will do it. I reckon people will protest against it. Because, you know, there are small pockets of feeling out there. I mean, I'm at college in Dunfermline, and a lot of the people I'm studying with are like, you know, this is really, really bad. They're asking me questions about it. They're going, oh, well, I've heard this, I've heard that about it. So I think in Tayside, the region that the G8's going to be in, Tayside, Fife, Central, Lothian, I think a lot of people are going to start coming together and going, shit, what the hell is this? But because it's so far away at the moment, people just don't really see it's important. But I think once, as I said, people get information, I think they will do something about it, yeah. I think people really will. I don't know. I think it'd be really good to see a huge movement from Perth, a huge movement from Tayside, of people coming up and doing something about it. And again, you know, once people get information, once the papers stop stifling people, as they fucking blatantly do, you know, once they stop, you know, running stories about hate and lies and fear and everything, then I think there will be a huge movement against authority. You know, up there, there's, you know, it's, there's a lot of rich farmers. There's a lot of, there's a hell of a lot of money, and it's not like in a lot of other places where you've got very rich, you've got middle of the road, and then you've got poor. You've got rich and poor up there, and there is a lot of poverty. There's a lot of ill feeling up there towards different organisations. Not like Dissent, but, you know, like the government, big industry, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, if you're not a farmer up there, then if you don't have a certain kind of job, then that's, you know, there's not a lot of work for you to do up there. And, you know, that's what I've been saying to people. Look, it's coming to, the G8 is going to come to Glen Eagles. It's only going to put money into Glen Eagles, and it's going to take the money away. In Seattle and Genoa, from what I know, it's when the G8's gone there, it's left millions of pounds worth of debt there, millions of pounds that, you know, still has to be paid back, and the taxpayers are going to have to pay for it. And, you know, at the moment Scotland's been conned for, we've been conned far too many times by, you know, the fucking Scottish Parliament is one. We've been conned by this, conned by loads of things, and I think once people get the information, they're going to realise they've been conned again by the G8. People up there do think this is going to bring jobs. It's going to sort out all the problems. It's going to sort out the housing problems. It's going to sort out the unemployment problems. It's going to sort out the education problems. It's going to sort out all the things the government can't do, because there's so many important people coming to Glen Eagles. But this is just, you know, it's Sodexo who are going to do the catering for a start. It's not going to be a local company who's going to do the catering. It's going to be outside catering like Sodexo who'll do the catering, so no local people are going to get jobs, right? The I think people are going to be well pissed off once you realise what it's about.
In order to combat state and police disinformation, a collective called Intelligent Rage has put together the Trapeze Roadshow. In the run-up to the G8 in 2005, the collective will be giving talks and workshops in venues around the UK and beyond, attempting to reach all sorts of people, not just political activists. The Trapeze Roadshow sessions use a mixture of visual aids, interactive games and workshops, videos and handouts.
Okay, well, the roadshow is called Trapeze, which means stands for take radical action through participatory popular education and sustainable everything. And it was set up by a group of people who've been working on education stuff and who wanted to, like, take things around the UK and around England, around Scotland and Wales and Ireland, talking to people and escaping from the kind of normal activist circles about the G8 and why we'd protest against the G8, particularly around the issues of, like, climate change and the G8. A lot of it came from, there was a lot of momentum during the war, like a lot of people mobilised on the streets saying no to the war and then making the links between oil and climate change to that. And basically, also the UK's got the EU presidency, well, England's got the EU presidency this year, and also it's the English general elections. And just basically really felt like a time that a lot of people that wouldn't normally necessarily think about being political are being politicised. And but we wanted to basically take this roadshow on the road to talk about the Dissent network and about the ideas of organising on consensus, like through consensus, through non-hierarchies, as a very, very important part of building a kind of wider social movement. So basically the idea of the roadshow is to go and do these workshops in towns. It's not about preaching to people, it's about facilitating people. It's just about providing the other side of the argument from what they hear in the media and what they hear kind of in the sort of mainstream circles, and saying, no, actually, there is another side to the argument and this is what it is, basically.
And if someone was to come along to one of these roadshow events, what could they expect in that time?
Well, it depends, because we've got different workshops that we do. There's like five workshops which are kind of more serious, they're interactive workshops, and they're mainly kind of meant for more educational, informative sessions, and they're on climate change, war, oil, food, media literacy and global responsibility. And then there's also kind of a social justice pub quiz that we do like in the evenings if we're going to like bars or pubs. And so we do this social justice pub quiz, which is supposed to be like a fun way of doing a kind of workshop stroke pub quiz at the same time. Also, we've got like short films that are funny and interesting, and some good tunes, ideally, at the end of it. Yeah, well, we're coming to Scotland from the 1st to 10th of October, and we're doing the Big Leather Gathering and some other dates in Aberdeen and in Glasgow and in Edinburgh, and hopefully in a pub in Perth, and hopefully in a pub near that village I can't pronounce, near Glen Eagles. And it's very much the idea is that people contact us and say, can you come and do a, like local groups contact us and say, can you come and do a pub quiz or can you come and do a workshop or whatever, and we go there and do it. But I think, like, because we went to visit this village near Glen Eagles the other day, and it just became really apparent that we should really be concentrating, you know, some of our energies into outreaching to the local people that live there, because they're going to be really quite fucked over by this protest, because their whole life, you know, half of them are going to be inside the exclusion zone, their whole lives are going to be changed. And I think it's really important that we are presenting our side of the, you know, the argument, because the police are already going around sort of, and they're having these anti-protester meetings and all the rest of it. So I think it is really important that we're talking to people and connecting with people, and they may not agree with us, and it's not like saying we expect them to agree with us, but just realizing that, you know, what we are doing and where it is that we're coming from. As far as I know, I've never been before. The Big Blether Gathering is like a gathering of Scottish activists and environmentalists or human rights activists or social activists, and basically it's where they get together to do workshops and have discussions with each other.
So Dissent will be at that this year?
The Trapeze Roadshow is going and is going to be doing workshops on Dissent, but the Trapeze Roadshow is affiliated to but does not represent in any way Dissent. So kind of, yeah, inadvertently, but not really, if you know what I mean. It has been said since Dissent set up was that Dissent isn't just mobilising around the G8, that it wants to exist afterwards, and it wants to be a network which connects lots of different groups working on lots of different issues. It wants to facilitate communication, information flows between these groups to support each other. That's what I would hope, that there would be a continuum, that there's a continuum of the momentum that's going on, that we are able to bring in all these different links, these groups that have been fragmented, and build a stronger movement. But, yeah, and that's more in the long term. In the short term, I hope that we can have a very positive, creative protest against the G8. Someone was saying the other day that, oh, being against the G8 and protests against the G8, it's really negative. I say it's not negative to protest against the G8. It really isn't. Like, the G8 is a totally undemocratic undemocratic representation of the world's countries, and it's not a negative thing to protest against it. In fact, it's a very, very positive thing, because we're calling for something that is representative, that something is fair, that something does represent, you know, this idea of direct democracy. And I think protest against the G8 is very important. I hope that we create more awareness in the UK in general about the issues around the G8 and about capitalism, about all of those kind of things. And in the short term, I mean, the roadshow is trying to get more people involved. Well, the roadshow has got different objectives. One is to counteract the media images that are going to be put across and to provide another side of the argument. And the other one is to try and bring people into the Dissent process, like, you know, people that are already slightly politicised that might be interested in working in this consensus, non-hierarchical basis along the PGA hallmarks.
Another recurring theme that surfaced during the weekend of the Dissent gathering was to try and move beyond the methods of simple street protests. Activists felt that it was important to stage constructive actions that focused on the creative and positive elements of resistance to capitalism. The standard blockades, lockdowns, and cat-and-mouse tactics with the police had left many people jaded. Others felt that they were simply playing into the hands of media and police stereotypes by taking the physical force of the state head-on. The resources and efforts involved in putting together confrontational street actions were not encouraging more people to get involved in local autonomous politics. One action from the anti-GA protest during the summer of 2004 in Georgia in the United States that provided inspiration was called Fix Shit Up. Fix Shit Up was a collaboration between anarchists from Atlanta and church groups from Brunswick. A crew of repairmen and women got tooled up with paintbrushes, drills, sanders and hammers, and visited derelict houses in the area to bring them back to livable conditions. The houses were then given over to single mothers or turned into youth shelters. People at the Dissent Network were keen to do something similar during the 2005 GA protests. They wanted to meet with local communities around Glen Eagles that had been affected by the policies of capitalism and find ways that they could work together with them, but also give the communities inspiration and encouragement to continue to act on their own, rather than simply parachuting in somewhere and leaving again. People who had been to Fix Shit Up in Brunswick told of how the atmosphere at the action was extremely beneficial for everyone involved.
It was a very positive thing for a lot of reasons. For me, actually, one of the reasons it was so positive is because what actually ended up happening in Brunswick, Georgia, was a lot smaller than a lot of people expected, a lot smaller than what we hope to create here this year. And And one of the most positive things that came out of Brunswick was the links that were made with the local community. And of course, the Fix Shit Up sort of project was an intrinsic part of that. A lot of the organising for convergence and for, you know, things were happening in Brunswick town was actually done through local churches, and because they're like the biggest community base in the black, very poor black working class area that was Brunswick, which is the town obviously directly next to Sea Island. And the Fix It Up was organised again through the churches, a local Baptist minister and his family, who's, you know, fairly and he, you know, fairly radical, you know, for the area and for Georgia as a whole. You know, Georgia don't usually see that sort of thing happening in their area. So it was really positive because people were able to put something back. It was also positive in strengthening links with the community. And just the atmosphere that came out of it was, I can't stress how you know, empowering I think it was for everybody to be working alongside people, to helping them, the message that people were trying to bring, the anti-G8 message, to actually have some reality and some bearing. I mean, I know that more than one of the locals have said to individual people, you've done more for us than the government in this week than the government has done for us in years. And, you know, people are actually showing that they're prepared to do something on a practical level as well as an ideological level.
And people have been discussing the upcoming G8 mobilisations. What would you like to see happen during the G8 in 2005 in Scotland? Would you like something like Fix Shit Up to happen again?
Oh, I think that, without a doubt, that would be a really brilliant thing. I think in isolation, in isolation it would still be a brilliant thing, but I don't think that's necessarily the only thing that we should do. But I definitely think that it's a brilliant way of making links with people, of just making facilitation for talking to people on a one-to-one level, just making friends with people. You know, you get to know someone individually because you're helping them out with their garden or, you know, whatever. Then, you know, you're talking to someone, you're making a relationship, which then, you know, can be an informative relationship in both ways, and both parties can learn from the experience. I mean, the way that they did the Fix Shit Up in Brunswick, Georgia was the Reverend, I forget his name, but this local Baptist minister had, I think it was his family, actually owned, or the church owned, a couple of really knackered properties that were unlivable in. So the project there was to do up these properties to make them in a livable standard. And I think the intention for the properties then was them to be like rooms for single mothers to live in with their kids. So I mean, that's a very specific thing. Another really good thing about it was that it didn't just finish when the G8 finished. A lot of the group who were working on it were from Atlanta, which isn't all that far away from Brunswick, and they were intending to come back down, you know, for the next couple of months, every weekend or whenever they could, to finish, you know, to carry on working on the houses, because they didn't all get finished in that short time. But I don't know if we'd necessarily want to take that as a direct model, because, you know, it's obviously a very different community set up in Edinburgh or in Scotland than there is in Brunswick, Georgia. It's a very, very different place. So what we'd actually want to do, I think, I'm not really in a position to, you know, I have, you know, a few ideas. I'd like to see people fulfilling the needs of the people in community, and the people in the community saying what they want, rather than us going, oh, you know, we're going to come in and make a park. You know, meeting with people, saying, look, you know, there's a team, we're ready to do something, what would you like us to do? One of the ideas someone mentioned earlier, which I really liked, was building a kids' playground. That'd be quite a nice thing to do if the land could be found to do it on. But I mean, even just simple things like doing up gardens for old people who are a bit old, they can't quite manage to, you know, they'd like their garden to be made, you know, a bit more easier for them to cope with. Just, you know, just simple one-to-one things, I think, be just as effective as, you know, building a house or what have you.
And you were talking there about how the people that you were dealing with in Brunswick, they were from the church tradition, maybe a more radical based church tradition. How is it like for people coming from the dissent, kind of autonomous or anarchist tradition? What was it like working with them? And was there any kind of tension between the two groups?
Well, I wasn't involved in any of the initial organisation for the convergence in Brunswick. So I don't know if I could. And when I arrived, I must say, I went to stay on a camp. It's a camp which was the land of the brother of another high-profile, fairly radical Baptist minister, a woman, I forget her name as well. And so when I landed, I mean, there was loads of Christians from Atlanta there, and I was like, hang on a minute, what's going on? I come in the middle of a Christian commune. And there were, I mean, for me, there were slight... I mean, nothing that ever manifested itself, but there were sort of slight tensions in the different directions. People wanted the actions, and not that they were really actions, it was more marches and actions that took place there. There's a slight tension in the direction people wanted to go after. You know, when people were talking ideologically, yeah, there's vast differences. And in fact, a lot of it ended up... We were at a barbecue. They put on a barbecue in this land that was of the land of the brother of the minister, and she did like a, you know, a big sort of, you know, talk thing at the end, and it was quite funny because a lot of it ended up a lot of it was about democracy and about using your right to vote, which I'm not necessarily, you know, and a lot of it ended up being get Bush out, vote for Kerry. And that sort of ended up being, in some ways, the focus of the anti-G8 actions, or the anti-G8 convergence, which wasn't necessarily something that I'd subscribe to. Also, she did actually mention quite a bit the issue of immigrant workers and how she didn't want immigrants coming in taking the jobs of the community of Brunswick, which is another thing that, you know... But I didn't want to take issue on any of these things because at the end of the day you can't detract from the fact that we were all there in opposition to the G8, and that was our common thing. So I think, you know, you need a bit of open-mindedness in order to work with people to make your resistance effective.
This bagpiper is playing to a crowd of tourists in a busy Edinburgh street. Next year during the G8, if the Dissent Network irons out the logistical problems involved with staging a large anti-capitalist mobilisation, the piper could be playing to thousands of people engaged in popular protest and dissent against the global leaders in the same place. The authorities can expect an unusually hot Scottish summer in 2005. For more information on the Dissent Network, check out their website at www.dissent.org.uk, or for what's happening in Scotland at the moment, go to scotland.indymedia.org.